I want to exhort today on a subject I've mentioned before on and off many over the years, and that is with regard to pride. And I've got a title for this teaching: Pride is like the waves of the sea. Pride is like the waves of the sea. You know, when we get saved and we have a walk and relationship with God, God has to deal with every Christian in the area of pride. It is part of sin. It is what fallen state has done. It's the state of the world. And it's part of our deliverance and healing when we start to walk with God. And certainly with the deeper life in the Spirit teaching, pride is an area that God will deal with and he will keep it in check. It's not just something you get delivered from and that is it. There are various aspects to pride. There are areas of pride that we are not fully aware of until God exposes and brings it out into the light. Why the emphasis on this? Because God hates pride. It damages the soul of human beings. Now, by the title that we're calling this today, Pride is Like the Waves of the Sea, very often we need to go into the languages. And it's interesting that in Hebrew, the understanding of pride and the word for it is gehon. And its root means to rise up like waves of the sea. So we all know what the sea looks like. We've all travelled on it. We've seen the waves come crashing in on the shore when we've been at the seaside and everything. And what does that tell us? What does the Hebrew tell us? Well, it tells us that pride doesn't sit still. It swells up. It's a crest. It's like everything, it waves, it comes up and it goes down and it crashes. The waves, they swell up and then they crash onto the sand and so forth. It can look very attractive when we look at that, but we look at it long enough, we see the spiritual aspect of it, and God reveals what that is like pride. Which is interesting, the word opposite to pride, which is the word humility. And the Hebrew understanding for humility is a Hebrew word, anavaha, and meaning to bow down, low. So humility is a bowing down, it is being low. So one rises to fall, which is what pride does, because it's like the waves, they swell up and then they come down. The other is to bow low in order to be lifted up by God himself. And there's the difference. Isn't it wonderful when you get into languages, and particularly in the Hebrew, where you get that inner understanding of pride, humility, and how God works with us? You see, pride will destroy itself. because it will rise up and then it will come crashing down. Whereas the saint who bows low in God's presence, you then find you are lifted up by God himself. And there is the difference. Because we can only be saved, we can only be raised up in him, as we will be on the last day. And those who will be raised up in Christ are those who have humbled, have bowed themselves before God, or in other words, bowed the knee. Now, of course, we get an example of this in the book of James, chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 10. James 4 and verse 10. We know this well. And he says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He will lift you up. So there we are. To be delivered from pride, to keep pride in check, we have to constantly have a bowed knee, heart, and attitude before God. And even that is a work of grace. What does Matthew 23 verse 12 tell us? Matthew 23 and verse 12. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And then he goes on to rebuke the Pharisees and the scribes, the hypocrites, because they are puffed up by pride, religious pride. And pride will always eventually destroy. It will bring you crashing down in some way or form. That's its nature, because God will not have anything that is exalted above him. That's why. So it looks at, for a period of time, as though the proud, the arrogant, are getting away with it. It looks as though, you know, their arrogant way of living is paying off. But don't be fooled by that. You will find their day will come, and they will come crashing down. And sadly for many, it will be too late, because they ignored what God was saying. Keep that knee bowed in my presence. You see, it's interesting, as the fall is already happening. We are seeing the great falling away now. That is happening because of the world's pride. Priding itself, independent of God. I will do it my way. Unlike the life of a saint who continues in that bowed position. You see, we have to be like that with God, because we don't know anything. Everything has to be revealed to us. Pride has blinded us from the love and grace and mercy of God. Pride will stop you hearing the word of God. If you don't deal with pride, you won't have that revelation illuming your mind and heart and spirit. And therefore, when the trials come, that faith isn't there to believe. It's the humble who keep their knee bowed are the ones who learn, who hear, because we're told faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10, 17. And so the proud in heart can't hear. They can only hear intellectually, but they cannot hear in the heart where seed is sown in order to live by faith. to feed off the promises of God, to see the promises of God being fulfilled in our lives, even in this world, because we're joint heirs with Christ. And that's why you see the Word of God constantly reveals its dangers, that it elevates our desires. It will elevate us above God. I know better than God. We don't say it in such words, but it's the way it comes over. I'm a master of everything. I know about everything. We don't know anything. And that's the whole point. That's the humbling aspect of the Christian walk, when God finally catches up with us and shows that we know absolutely nothing. All I know, and the revelation and understanding that I have thus far, has come as a result of keeping my knee bowed before God. You see, as I've said already, the Bible shows us illustrations from Genesis to Revelation of what pride has done. It expelled Adam, Eve, from the Garden of Eden. That's what it did. That was pride. They become like us, gods. They've looked at themselves and seen what they can do. At the moment Adam, Eve fell, they had revelation they could be independent of God and do it their way. All sounds familiar, doesn't it? And God could no longer keep them in the paradise, in the garden, and they had to be expelled. That was pride. We know the story of Satan himself, the anointed cherub, thought he could be God. And a third of the angels believed he could rebel, he could do it. And rose up and immediately cast out of the presence of Almighty God. There we are, the waves. He exalted himself, and as he exalted himself, he came crashing down, expelled out of the presence of Almighty God. So pride was already there before even the creation of the world. Pride brought the flood, the destruction of the early world and civilization. And God regretted that he had made created man, but Noah found favor, grace, pardon. And his building that ark for 120 years, that was a very humbling experience. God was working with Noah, building that, working with his character, his faith, getting him to totally rely on God. To build such a thing, that took a bowing of the knee. How often have we tried doing a thing in our own strength and it keeps going wrong? It doesn't work. And in the end, we just say, Lord, I give up. And it's like God saying, bow that knee. You have been trying to do it independently of me. I've experienced that many times. Doing jobs or jobs around the house, it's just not working. And I realize I've not given it over to God. I've not looked to him. I've done it independently in my own strength. And it doesn't work. God has to bring me down. And when he does, and you bow, then he raises you up in Christ and shows you the solution. Or he puts it right, or whatever it is. It's called often the trials of our faith. A lot of the trials of our faith is God keeping us in his presence with a bowed knee. And sometimes he will test us to see if we're going to rise up independently of him. You see, pride, as I said at the beginning, can form in many countless forms. It can manifest in such diverse ways. You see, the enemy, demons are clever. The moment we're born, they are analysing, they're watching. They know which demons to buffet and work with us. And they will always work with the area of pride with us. And that's why it's so wonderful that Jesus came to rescue us from all of this, not only to forgive our sin and cast it away, but also to deal with pride. That's why the rainbow in the sky is a reminder in God's mercy and judgment, he won't send a flood anymore, because he dealt with pride in that generation. That's a sign of it. Judgment, what pride does. It's interesting that in our life and in the world, society exalts self-esteem. It likes it. It likes to identify itself with things. It likes to encourage our desires and our ambitions, our sexuality, achievements, feelings, all of these things in the world, in advertising, education even. All of it is all for self, self-promotion, to exalt you. In the world's view, to make you a better person. But it's pride. That's why Jesus says to us, you can do nothing without me. This is why I'm against Christians who try to bring Christianity into psychology. Because it never goes to the root, to the heart of the problem. In actual fact, it can actually do more damage. It's as we abase ourselves, bow that knee in the presence of God, does our healing and deliverance come. You see, followers of Christ identify in him. And the Bible tells us that he came and he emptied himself. He took on the role of a slave, a servant. There's that word we know, that kenosis experience, emptying of the self life. Whereas the world is saying, celebrate yourself. Love yourself. Be proud of yourself. It's what the world says. Little realizing that attitude, that speech, that working at yourself in that way, you're going to come crashing down. Whereas Jesus says to the Christian, as we know so well, he says, deny self. The self-life, go the way of the cross. and that is where I will exalt you. Jesus said, when you're invited to the table to eat, don't take the head place, but go to the lowest place. What is he showing there? That you will be brought up when you start from the lowest place. This is why in this walk you have to start with the lowest menial things. And he gradually exalts and brings you up in that right time and way. God knows us better than we know ourselves. I sadly have seen so many preachers, teachers who are arrogant, proud, exalted themselves. And sadly, in time, you hear stories where they've come crashing down because of that pride. What a waste. This is why God never calls us to celebrate the very thing that separates us from him. God never does that. He's not called any of us what the world celebrates to separate us from him. Quite the contrary, the opposite. Turning back to James, the book of James. James has quite a bit to say about this. James 4 and verse 6, he says here, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So, God not only accepts the humble, but he says, I give you grace in order to be humble before me. Now, why do we need grace for this, to be humble? Because it's so easy to exalt yourself. It is so easy to justify yourself. It is so easy to react if self isn't recognized or acknowledged or thanked. And God says he gives grace in those situations. We draw from the fruit of the Spirit. Many times you're going to be like a doormat, used, trodden on, not recognized. But God hasn't forgotten you. That's why we need that grace that works, because you desire to humble yourself before God. And what does he say then in verse 7? Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So as you humble yourself, bow that knee in his presence, that gives you then, by the grace of God, the ability and the power in Christ to submit to God. And in doing that, you will resist the devil's temptations, which will draw you near to God. You see? This is how he does it. Sometimes we don't overcome as we should. And very often, it's because there's still pride God is dealing with, or sometimes we're not believing in areas by faith. There's still pride he's dealing with. He's getting us to bow that knee in these areas, and then God's grace is there, and God says you will be able to resist the enemy, and I will raise you up. There's the resurrection power of the cross. The same as Jesus emptied himself, he was sinless, he went to that cross, and in his death, God raised him up and overcame death. But look what he had to do first in order to achieve that victory that you and I now can share with him and each other. This is why I started off with this teaching that pride is like the waves of the sea. Those waves that rise up and then they come down. Unlike the humble humility who bow the knee, who are low and who are raised up by God, the resurrection power. You see, the Christian walk, as I bring this to a conclusion, the Christian walk is about being raised up. We are each day being raised up in Christ to be able to walk this day by faith. We won't walk it otherwise. We will walk independently of him. This is why God wants us to submit daily before we even venture out to the things that we have to do each day. We submit, we bow that knee. This is why it is important that you have time with the Lord before you face the day. That he continues that work so that our walk can be a blessing, that we can be a blessing to others, and that we can be used by Almighty God. He can only use those who humbly walk before him. This is why we see with the seven churches in Revelation, the church that we see so much today, which is the Laodicean, it's proud, it's arrogant. And the tragedy with that church is that Christ stands outside knocking to come in. And it's so proud, so arrogant, doing its own thing, cannot even hear the knocking. That typifies so much of Christendom today and churches. But God won't have that of us. He will not have that of FGA. He's going to have us to lay low in his presence. And in that due time and season, he will raise you up in Christ. This is why he says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. You do not have to fight. You do not have to vindicate yourself. You bow the knee against your enemies, those who persecute you, those who lie and scheme and manipulate against you. You bow that knee, which looks ridiculous, weak, ineffectual. And God says, "I will raise you up and I will vindicate you." Because those in their pride who have risen up against you, they will fall. And it happens every time. Our history books are filled with it. The Bible is filled with it. These despots rising up in their pride and arrogance against God, and God brings it down. He does it with governments. He does it with leaders. He'll do it with anyone who's arrogant. He's not going to have it. And he certainly will not have it in the house of God. And you know something, as you bow that knee and you begin to experience the blessing, the fruit of it, you just want to do it. You don't want to fight against God. You don't want to walk independently of him. And before you know where you are, you're totally thrown upon him. You realize, I cannot live my life. I cannot live in this world without him. I am totally, utterly dependent on him. That's exactly what he wants. That's what he wants, brothers and sisters. So there we are. We have been talking today. Pride is like the waves of the sea. We're probably going to look at the sea now in a different light next time we see it. It'll be a reminder to us of this teaching.